You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to another episode of Two Peas on a Podcast. Counting down movies, music, TV, and pop culture. One top five at a time. And now, here are the Two Peas. Andy and Gerald.
Welcome into Two Peas.
Hammer of the Gods.
Oh, because you mentioned
Hammer
this was in,
of the Gods.
You mentioned. Well, I don't want to give any spoilers for anybody's list. We haven't even said hello to people yet.
You don't know. I don't know what we're doing. I'm sorry. This is a great song.
I just wanted to leave with Led Zeppelin. What are you talking about? Yes. Welcome in, everyone. Two Peas on a Podcast. Okay. Episode 75.
Technically.
Gerald is here.
Andy is in La Casa.
Andy's here, and glad to have you, brother.
I'm glad
to be
here.
Hey, twice in 1 week we recorded. You were here a week ago. Can you believe that?
1 week ago today?
No, I think so. Let's have is our anniversary.
Well, when I leave you, time just stops. And I sink into deep mourning and desperation.
It doesn't seem like any time's
passed.
And then
the sun comes out again when you arrive.
That is mad
or
deep,
when
brother.
I arrive.
So, welcome in, Two Peas. Now, we got a new format. We told everyone. We released that quick update last week.
People are excited.
People got excited. You know what we really...
Both of them are excited.
All three of them are thrilled.
We have three listeners.
Yeah, we picked up one. Yeah.
Hey, welcome in.
But we put out that update to let everyone know that, you know, we're kind of shifting away from the political current events type stuff, and we're going to be
doing... Is that because we're just sick of talking about it?
That's because I'm an idiot. I don't know what's going on anymore. I don't have time.
I'm lost.
Is Trump still president? Yeah. I don't even know.
To talk about current events, you have to have a little bit of intelligence.
You have to have somewhat knowledge of what's occurring in the world.
Have.
I've lost that. I don't have time to keep up with it anymore.
Yes.
But we're also just... We don't have time, you know, to devote to a current events show every week. And as you said, time's a metaphor. It's not even a real thing.
It's not. It's a tool of measurement.
Fair enough.
It's like a ruler. Inches. Inches and years are the same thing.
Fair enough. So we are... We wanted to continue the show. For those of you that didn't hear that update, we want to continue the show, but our format is now going to be a top five kind of entertainment-based show.
Yeah.
And we'll be, you know, covering movies, music a lot.
Dude,
probably.
I'm so stoked. Everybody likes a top five
TV
list.
Shows, books.
Everybody likes a top five
pop
list.
Culture icons, that kind of thing. Yeah. So we have I have some topics in the noggin. I'm going to bounce around and bounce off you and see what you want to do. But we did come up with our first one today.
Yes.
Because this is, just so everyone knows, this is the first official new format show.
The top five list today goes with that.
Yeah. So it's our opening credit sequences.
Top five movie specifically.
Movies, yes.
Movie opening credit sequences.
That's accurate. So we got some good feedback online, which actually kind of, you know, jarred my noggin a little bit. Some stuff I had forgotten about. Credits I'd forgotten about. So that was helpful. And then you said you came up with yours pretty easy.
Things just started popping. Popping.
Yeah. Yes. You didn't even bring over any notes or anything. I have like four websites pulled up here. I got my notes on my Mac.
Three listeners.
And
I just want to say
it shows up with nothing.
I just want to say it's interesting that Gerald finds it surprising that I can hold five titles in my head. And two honorable mentions.
I honestly don't know.
I mean, how do you do it?
If I don't look back at my notes right now, I honestly don't know if I can tell you my five without
looking. You can't remember five
without looking
things.
At that.
That's crazy.
I definitely wouldn't
That's
remember
sad.
The order.
We need to get you checked
it's
out.
It's extremely
man.
Sad, brother.
Yes, it is.
Let's have a moment of silence for my youth. My youth has died. So.
Yes.
All right. So, how was your week, man? What's going on?
Man, I had a great
anything,
week.
Anything interesting? I hope so, because nothing interesting happened to me last week.
Labor Day weekend.
That's accurate.
Went to the pool. Now, I want to tell you something.
Really?
I went to the pool.
You swim?
No, I don't like the pool. I mean, water's okay. I mean, it's a beautiful thing, but I'm not a big fan of hanging out in the heat, which is what the pool is. Let's go sit in the heat and then jump in the water every once in a while. But I don't really get along well with sun. I spend most of the summer trying to stay out of the sun.
You know,
but I went to the pool for the kids because it was the last pool weekend. We had a good time. We cooked out.
You know, I'll say
had a barbecue.
You know, I'll say I kind of share that sentiment with you, but I do like going to the pool because one of my favorite things is just floating in water. I just float there. I don't know why.
This is when you are doing as little as possible.
I just want to float. You know, it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
But I literally just go out the pool and my kids want to play with me and shit. I'm like, leave me alone. I'm just floating.
Do you have dreams that you're a boat?
Nothing I want to do with you.
Do you have
you
a
right
dream
now.
That you're a boat? No, I'm just a boat. No.
At sea.
No, my son tries to treat me like a boat when I'm in the pool with him. He tries to,
leave me alone. Daddy's floating.
Anyway, king of the world. He's on top of my
head. What did you do this weekend? Did you do anything on Labor Day-ish? Holiday weekend?
I worked, so Labor Day. I lived it, man. I was laboring,
You're not supposed to labor on Labor Day. That's the point, right?
I did it, man. We were actually really busy. We thought we were going to be slow. I work in a restaurant, for those that don't know.
But everybody's out of work. You thought no one's going to be down there where you work.
I thought everybody's at the beach or the pool like you.
Yeah, I was at the pool.
I definitely didn't see you in there. You're at the pool. But everybody else came in. We were busy.
Everyone but me came to your restaurant.
Yeah, everybody. All right, you want to do this, man?
I'm ready.
Now, look, I don't know if we're going to... This is going to be up in the month of September, but I don't know when.
You have no idea.
So we're recording.
So we're talking about Labor Day. This could be up in December.
Yeah, I know.
Labor Day. That was like 3 months ago.
What day is this? Like the 5th or something? I don't even know.
It's 9.
You have a calendar on you?
9. It's September 9.
Is it the 9th, really?
The 9th month.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if it's the 9th, I've missed some appointments. I got to get out of here. What I was going to say is we might have some jingles. I don't know.
Maybe.
We may have fun music. I don't know. We'll do something. What? But for now, you just want to get into it.
I would love to get it. I'm very excited about my number 5.
Now, I got
to
pull up my list. All right, guys. So we're doing our top 5 opening credit sequences.
Now, we should tell these folks who are listening that we're not talking about the first scene of movies.
No.
You want to talk about where the action begins to progress. We're talking about how does the movie bring you in? How does it, how the credits, the opening sequence, the music, how does that set the tone for the film?
Yeah, you know, for me, it was more of kind of a technicality because when I was, you made fun of me doing research, but when I was doing. I went to the library, did the whole thing. I was doing research, some of them are opening scenes, but there's no credits on the on the screen. Okay. So that disqualifies that for me.
So you need the, and I some need, of them, I mentioned earlier that one I was thinking about has an opening scene and then they cut to the sequence with the.
So what would count would be director, the sequence with the credits. Yeah, right, exactly. So all of mine, including honorable mentions, there's credits on the screen.
Okay.
At the time,
I think mine had those
talking about this particular scene. Now, in a future top 5, we could do opening
scenes
to movies because there's some good ones there too, where there's no credits yet, or it's after the credits, for example, and it's just the first scene of the movie.
Cool.
And there's some good ones there too. And I watched some during my.
I'm on the edge of my seat. You can't see me. You can't see me, but I'm on the edge of my seat.
Let's hope people are still tuned in. The three of them got shit to do. Brother. What do we? So let's see. Top 5 opening.
Who's
credit
going
sequences.
First? Am I giving my number 5 first? Or you go. First?
You tell me now. If I go first, you'll be wrapping up. Okay. You'll be the finale. What do you want to do?
I don't want to be the finale. Let me go first then.
You want to go first? Yes, okay. What's your number 5 opening credit scene from a film?
All right. Now my number 5 opening credit scene illustrates how much can be done just by showing. Who made the movie, I guess, the Warner Brothers or, you know, I think Village Roadshow was one of them. Just by showing those in a certain way and playing a music over it, how that can set the tone. Number 5 opening sequence is The Matrix. The Matrix is, of course, one of my favorite trilogies of all time. But as it opens, it shows the Warner Brother logo. But it shows it with this kind of green wave and that kind of Matrix sound like wow, wow, wow in the background.
Right.
Then they show the second producer, I guess it's Village Roadshow or something. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Just showing it. So it's setting this kind of eerie computer technological tone. And then the famous Matrix symbols drop from the top of the screen.
The code.
Yeah, and you see the Matrix.
Yeah.
Now look, no music, just sounds. That probably lasts, 20 seconds? And that sets the whole tone.
Now, you know what's going to be interesting?
Especially
regular listeners of our show that have listened to us in the past. What they're going to find, I think, with our new format is that we're going to argue more. Right? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm going to tell you why I disagree in a second. But what I'm saying is, like, we're both liberal politically and all that stuff. So we had a lot of the same views back on the old show.
But when it comes to entertainment.
But now here, it's like, come on, man. You know, it's opinion. You know, like, you know, nobody's right. It's just like your opinion, man. You know? But here's the thing.
Okay.
The Matrix for me would be on my top 5 of opening scenes.
Okay.
When Trinity is running
the
from fighting. Mr.
Yes.
Smith.
Okay. Okay.
And that whole sequence for the first 5 minutes or whatever.
Got it.
What you're talking about was awesome. And I actually went back and watched it. It didn't make the cut because it was so short.
It
was a really short. Really, it just says, like you said, the movie studios and then the Matrix. Which the way the, if we were doing like title graphics.
Yes.
Then maybe. But you'll see when I get into my list. Mine are a lot more intricate than the one that than the
Now,
Matrix.
What I like about that one is it shows, like, DreamWorks always has the guy fishing off the DreamWorks symbol.
Yeah.
Kung Fu Panda comes out, shows the Chinese guy, and he hangs from the D, the symbol, and he fishes kind of with the Chinese hat on. So this Matrix kind of illustrates for me what can be done just with that very first Warner Brothers
that's cool.
or DreamWorks. Hey. The way they do it sets a tone.
Hey, so look,
that,
dude.
For me, that was symbolic.
Well, look, dude.
And the Matrix code has become iconic.
It has. It really has. And that is one of my favorite movies of all time. Okay. One of my favorite sci-fi films. Yes. Action movies. Just great.
Okay.
And I don't even like Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
I like him in like three movies, and this is one of them.
Bill and Ted and Neo.
Now, Bill and actually, Ted and Matrix. And Point Break. Those are the three. That's exactly. it. I don't like him anything else. Now, we have a lot of fans of the show, like Paul and Nick and a lot of guys. They love Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
I just can't. I don't know. He just...
He's a cool dude.
I feel like he's like
he's
a,
best at playing absent-minded characters.
That's what I mean.
Neo is in, living in two worlds, so he's never yeah. quite there.
Neo doesn't know what the hell's going on.
I know Kung Fu. So all right. Okay, you're number five.
What
you're
am I at? Let's see. Okay,
you're
look,
number
dude.
Five. Okay,
look,
okay.
I'm going to tell,
okay,
okay. Tell you. I'm actually making a change on the fly here.
Don't do that. Don't no, you can't make a change.
Well, I haven't. I'm making my number six
on the
my number
fly?
Five.
Oh.
Making, I think I just. Oh. I don't know.
Wow, Gerald. Commit. Well, in, commit.
I should.
Your wife and I talk about this all the time. You need to commit.
I'll leave my number five.
No, dude, do what you want to do. You know what? You're with me now. Be free.
Shut the hell up for a second. Here's the number five. I told you we're going to argue more. We don't like each other after this first episode.
I'm ready.
All right, my number five is from 1994. It launched the career of one of my favorite filmmakers. He's generally considered one of the greatest comedic filmmakers.
Ooh, interesting. Interesting.
This is a comedy. It was filmed in black and white. It was made for hardly no money. And the reason I love this opening credit sequence is because it really defines the main character, Dante, that we're going to follow in the film.
Okay.
And it is a film called Clerks.
Clerks. From 1994. Now, I've seen that. And, of course, that's Kevin Smith.
That's accurate.
His first big...
Yep, that's his first
movie really.
Period, yeah.
And then, of course, that kind of sets the tone for all of his movies. What is this opening sequence? I don't remember.
So, the opening sequence for this, it literally follows Dante as he's getting ready to go open the convenience store because, you know, it takes
on
place.
His day off.
On his day off.
This is supposed to be my day off.
And, you know, he's hungover from the night before. He falls out of the closet. He's answering the phone. His boss is like, I need you to go in. He's like, I gotta play hockey at 2. I'm supposed to be off today.
Yeah.
And then,
of course,
you know,
the whole movie is about him supposing I'm supposed
right,
to be off.
Right, right. It's kind of today. Like, you know, hating his life, man, hating his job.
You identify
and,
with that.
I do. Yeah. I'm Dante, guys. Not in the closet, though. Got real quiet here. Okay. So anyway, it follows him getting ready to go to work at 6 in the morning, and you know, he's pouring the cereal in the, do you remember the cookie jar where he pours the milk into the top of the cookie jar
because
he's having clean bowls.
Oh, poor guy.
And it's got a cool song actually called Clerks that was written for the soundtrack playing over the opening title cards, and he gets to the convenience store and starts opening up, and I don't know, I like it because it just kind of, without knowing anything about the movie the first time you see it, you kind of get what
you
the movie's going
to
be about.
Because Dante is the character you're supposed to identify with.
Right.
So you feel his pain already.
Right.
Like, oh, no clean balls, I got to go to work on my day off, I want to play hockey.
Right.
So right there, you're with him.
And
we all know how that feels.
And who doesn't hate their job at some point?
You know, I know how that feels.
And then at the very end of it, when the movie's about to quote start, and he gets the store all set up and everything's ready to go, he just puts his head down on the counter.
And then boom.
Like he can't believe he's doing another day in
that
this
fucking
place.
That also shows you that, you know, we're going to be talking about this a lot, I'm sure, that movies are not just shooting and acting. It's editing, it's music, it all plays into your experience of the film.
Absolutely,
one of the things I think we're really getting into today.
So Clerks is my number five.
Ooh, nice.
And you're up, buddy. What's your
number
four?
I think you're going to like this. Music, classic Danny Elfman. Filmmaker, classic Tim Burton. Character.
Love it already.
Character, classic Batman. Batman in, I think, 1989 with Michael Keaton begins with the Batman thing coming on the screen. Batman. And then the Danny Elfman music. And you're going through this alley. You feel like you're in this dark alley, which is what Gotham is, all dark alleys. And you're traveling through this alley as the music goes. And you pan out a little bit. You see the kind of the bat ears and these shadows. And when you pan away, you see this stone Batman symbol that you've been in
iconic.
The whole time.
Iconic.
And then, that
iconic.
Is my number four.
Now, I will tell you, that's not on my list, but I do love that. And I love Tim Burton. Tim Burton's, a couple of his films are going to be mentioned in a little bit. But that is awesome because that is a dark Batman.
Right? Oh, yes. Because you're in the alley. You don't know what's going on. It's like you're in an alley. You're in a
stone
alley. But
the credit
alley.
Sequence there really sets you up like, this is not my grandmother's Batman.
Yeah, this
like,
is not
this
the pow,
dark,
bam.
This is some dark shit going on, brother.
Yeah.
And then not only that, after the credits in the opening sequence, when we eventually meet Michael Keaton's Batman, who's my Batman, I'm just going to tell you. When I think of Batman, it's Michael Keaton.
I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell your friends about me. But I like that because you're right. Because, I mean, I didn't read the Batman comics. So all we knew about Batman in my life was, you know, the course of the bam and boom. Yeah. So then you're introduced to this, and this really brings the Dark Knight quote out into what it is.
And
so,
I love Tim Burton, man. He's always been one of my favorite
movies. Like Batman, besides Star Wars, that movie was one of my favorite movies growing up. I watched it over and over and over again.
It is awesome. Batman Returns, I love too.
Oh, that's a good one.
No, that was actually a good opening sequence too. Yeah, I don't remember. Penguin in the river, and he's in the bassinet floating down the river.
The baby with the thing. Yeah.
Also very dark.
Yeah.
It's a winter setting.
Yeah.
Takes place around Christmas time.
So that's my number four.
I love it, man.
That's my number four.
No argument for me.
Okay.
Batman from 1989 is Andy's number four.
Michael Keaton.
All right.
Gerald's Batman. He will forever be known as Gerald's Batman.
That's accurate. That's his namesake. He loves that. Yes. He tells all the interviewers that.
Yes. What's the high point of your career? Well, I'm Gerald's Batman.
Hey, listen, I was listening to this random podcast last week, and this creepy motherfucker said I was his Batman, and I retired. That's what I heard Michael Keaton say.
I'm done.
All right. My number four, we're keeping with superheroes, which we didn't obviously mean to do. By the way, we should tell everyone. We don't share our list with each other.
No.
Tell everybody.
Mine's in my mind, and Gerald can't see my mind. Mm. And Gerald's is on his computer, and he keeps telling me not to look.
Don't cheat.
Not to look.
All right. So you're Batman's DC. So I'm going to go over to the Marvel universe.
Okay.
All right.
Take me there.
My number four is the most recent film on my list. It's only a couple years old. They just did a sequel I saw a couple months ago. Hilarious movie. Action packed.
Okay.
Just an anti superhero.
Okay.
Played by one of your man crushes, Ryan Reynolds, but it is Deadpool.
Really?
2016.
Okay. Take us through that opening sequence.
The opening...
Is that when he's sitting on the bridge?
No, that's after it. That's
okay.
Right after. The opening credits
Sexiest
are...
Sexiest man alive. Got
the
it.
Opening credits are a bunch of kind of still slow motion images of this of the car wreck and the fight sequence that we see later in the movie. And, you know, Deadpool is fighting with all these villains and there's gunfire and everything's really kind of like... It's slow motion, but slower than slow motion. It's like almost like... still images almost, and the credits that come on the screen are like humorous, they're not real.
Well, one of the things so like starring like, Ryan Reynolds, they have the People magazine Sexiest Man Alive. Oh, classic.
And somebody has like the Green Lantern DVD like is floating out, and it's like, you know, starring some pretentious asshole, and like, you know, it's like shit like that. Like, it's not the real you know stuff. It's just
once again sets the tone for okay, this is gonna be a different kind of
just
a superhero
to make
movie.
You laugh. Yes. It's playing Juice Newton's Angel of the Morning, which is a classic, cheesy kind of romance song.
It also
song.
Kind of sets like that comedic mood because you have the fights and the guns and stuff, but you also have this light song.
It is hilarious, brother. It is...
That's a good one.
That 2 or 3 minutes is just... I just laugh every time. If you read the credits, you can't help but laugh because that's they're wonderful. Poking fun at themselves throughout the whole thing.
And the first thing he does in the first scene is say, like, well, how do you think I got this role?
It's, it's like, you know, starring a teen with angst, you know? Starring, you know, we wish our CGI was better, you know, just like that. It's like just, you know, but it's in credit form.
Yeah.
But it's not the actual credits.
Love it.
And then, you know, Deadpool, and then the movie starts.
Dude.
What you're talking about with him on the bridge.
Thinking,
so.
Yeah, how do you think I got this job? Like, let's just say something about Wolverine's man parts or something.
Yeah. So Deadpool, my number four, man.
That's good stuff.
It was a last minute entry.
Really?
I watched it a couple more times. I'm like, you know, this really is hilarious.
That's cool.
Because, I mean, now to me, like I said last week when we spoke, credit sequences are a big deal. I love them.
Okay.
You know, I love them. I prefer some kind of drama in the credits rather than just like starring and just a list.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Deadpool really, I mean, entertained you.
Mm-hmm.
During the credits, like, you don't want to skip it on your DVD. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of credits you can skip them and you won't miss anything. But Deadpool, it's an entertaining couple minutes. You know what I mean? And it makes me laugh every time. So
it's good stuff.
Love Ryan Reynolds. So Deadpool is my number four. Up to the top three, brother. What's your number three, man?
Number three. Now, this is one of those intro sequences that sets the tone, gives you a little bit of action, and it's pre-music. And it starts with just this. You're panning in and you see up close and then panning through a room full of clocks. All these different clocks going tick, 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 tick,
Okay, okay.
And
I think I got you.
And then as you pan out, you realize it's an inventor's room because you have this automated machine opening cans of dog food, but no one's there. The dog food's piling over. And then so you see this inventor's room, and then these sneakers walk in the room and steps on the dog food and goes, and it's Michael J. Fox. We're talking about Back to the Future.
Awesome, man.
And then he comes over at, in the thing. He picks up the guitar. He plugs the guitar in, slowly cranks it up to 10, all the thing, plays the note, and blows himself back, and his first word is rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
And of course, then Dr. Brown calls, and the Power of Love comes later on when he goes, I'm late for school.
Which is a great opening scene, too.
That's a great opening scene because it shows him, you know, riding the skateboard.
Shows Hill Valley and everything.
Yeah. But that opening scene, as far as time, experiments, Michael J. Fox, you know, the crazy inventor, it sets the tone for the whole movie. I love that opening scene.
I love it, too. It's on my honorable mentions.
Oh, it is? Okay, cool.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I would probably put it in my top five movies of all time. I mean, it's up there, man. But that is a great opening. You know what my favorite thing of that opening credits are? Because it's not, the credits aren't over until the very end when it says like directed, I think it was Rob Reiner. Is that right? I feel like it was Rob Reiner.
At the very end before, like when he plays the guitar or after the first song? Power of Love.
When he does the rock and roll. And then it says directed by, I think, I want to say Rob Reiner. Forgive me if that's not it, but I think it's Rob Reiner. But anyway, it says, or no, Robert Zemeckis, right?
Okay.
Zemeckis.
Yes. I think it's Robert Zemeckis.
Directed by Robert Zemeckis. And right after that, the piece of the speaker falls out.
It's perfect.
It's just such a little thing.
And of course, then Dr. Brown calls, said, you know, be careful. Don't set your, you know, too up too high. I think it might be overload. You don't say. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, then the time experiment. Oh, all the clocks are exactly this blah, blah, fast. Damn. I'm late for school.
Damn. I'm late for school. And then that's an opening scene. You know, he gets on the skateboard.
It's a serious thing. But I like that
because you nailed it with that one, brother.
It's not just like I've done before. The first two I did were just kind of intros with the title and with the symbol. This was an intro with action.
Yeah.
It shows the room. It shows him walking in. It sets up some character development. So it shows some action. So yeah. That's I'm going into it, brother.
That's awesome, brother.
That's number three. That's my number three.
I'm with you on that one. That's the first one we've matched up on in terms of my list. I've got it on my honorable mentions. Back to the Future, one of my favorite films. Great pick, buddy.
Yeah. Number three for Gerald.
Picture this.
I'm excited. I'm going to close my eyes.
Now, picture this now. First of all, it's 1978. Okay, so it's the 70s. All right. We don't have CGI. We don't have the internet. It's you're going to the theater and you're experiencing this in a dark theater with strangers.
Mm-hmm. I'm there.
And really there. What I would call an uncertain time. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, this one is literally just a haunting jingle that is now synonymous every October.
Oh,
It is basically over time become the theme song for a holiday.
I can hear it.
And the holiday is Halloween.
I can hear it.
The movie is Halloween. From 1978, John Carpenter's iconic music. That was my ringtone at one point. I'm a creepy dude, bro.
You're a creepy
man. I'm scary.
It just got dark.
Imagine me standing behind you in Rite Aid when
my God!
The music starts playing. But all it is...
So yeah, what's that sequence?
Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. Okay. The opening credits, all it is a jack-o'-lantern lit, smiling at you. It's a quote, happy jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah, okay.
And the credits, the words, and that music playing. And you're in a theater. Now, why I love that opening sequence.
Tell me why you love it.
Nothing happens. But as the audience member, at least in the 70s when you were going to see this, I would imagine as the audience member seeing that for the first time, you're like, this movie's coming to kill me.
Yes.
I'm going to be a victim of whoever the hell this Michael Myers movie is.
It's so simple.
This is some scary shit. But it's really just a pumpkin in the dark. And you're just staring at it the whole time, smiling at you. And it's like 3 minutes long.
It also sets a very high standard.
And it's just like
staring into your soul, that this is going to be a Halloween scary slash movie.
Yeah.
It's saying that. It doesn't mind giving you those expectations. Like, this is the Halloween movie.
And that music?
It's Halloween.
That music.
Is wonderful.
It's a great... I mean, John Carpenter nailed it. You know, he's great. I mean, The Thing... he's just an awesome filmmaker. I love him anyway. He does a lot of great sci-fi... and horror stuff, but that's Halloween, I mean, that theme song and that opening sequence that's really... And then at the very end of the credits, when it says, like, directed by John Carpenter, and it kind of goes to the movie, there's a... It pans to the left.
Okay.
It shows just the house.
Oh!
The Myers house. And it's like... Zing! And it's like just staring at you. And you're like, bro, I got to get the fuck out of here. You'll be like, something's about to happen. That's so, good stuff, man. Now, it's dated if you watch it now. It's 2018.
Okay. Yeah.
They're
yeah.
doing a remake, which I think is going to be great, okay. or a sequel, actually. But I mean,
does it come out, the sequel comes out this year, this
yeah,
Halloween?
Yeah, it comes out next month, yeah. But I mean, it that movie will live on forever. It's one of my favorite, if not my favorite horror movie. I mean, it's just, it created, in my opinion, the slasher genre. Yeah. And that song is synonymous. The oh, pumpkin man. Just kind of looking at you for 3 minutes, just staring at you.
Yeah.
You imagine just sitting there eating your popcorn like,
yeah.
something, and it also, what am I doing here?
What good horror films do is play on the audience's imagination.
Yeah.
It knows when to show you. It knows when not to show you.
Yeah.
So it's playing on that suspense, just having that thing sit there. At first, hey, it's a cute jack-o'-lantern or whatever. We know jack-o'-lanterns. But as it sits there and the music keeps playing, you're like, okay, this is getting creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it plays with your expectations as well. Wonderful. Well done, G.
So that's my number three.
Well done.
Halloween, the original, okay. brother. All right, well, where are we at? Well, you're
number two,
up, right? You're
number two. Okay, check it out. Check it out. I'm going to put a couple things together here. I'm going to put music together with credit, like, I'm sorry, opening, I don't, what do they call it? The makers of the film.
Right.
This guy made it. Together with an opening montage that introduces every main character.
Sure.
Imagine, now here's the song. The song, my friend, is Sweet Emotion. So you start with the guow, guow, oh, as the credits.
That
as
is just, so good. Hold on,
just as the film, I forgot who made the film. Guow,
Richard Linklater.
Guow, and then it hits. As soon as the picture comes and you see the car going around the parking lot, it hits. Doom, 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 it, doom, doom. So we're talking about Dazed and Confused.
Absolutely.
You see this orange car cruising slowly around the parking lot, pans into this beautiful girl in the front seat of the car rolling a joint on bongos, and then goes in to introduce each character. What are they doing? Slater's getting high, of course, from friends.
Yep.
You know, Randall Pink Floyd's doing this. What's his name? Shooting craps. It is the definition
awesome,
of cool.
Man. It's awesome.
It's one of the I can't even explain it. The Dazed and Confused opening credits. It's the music. It's the atmosphere. It's the opening of cool. It's saying that this movie is going.
What's
to be cool
about that opening credit sequence, among many other things, is that it takes you back to a time.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the, I don't know if you remember
from the very end, you hear it, you're like, I'm there.
At the very end, I don't know if you remember, but it goes into the school, the hallway of the school, and there's a sign that says Senior 76.
Yeah.
And so you're like, okay, it's 1976.
Yeah.
And it just kind of takes you back there.
Yeah.
Now, I don't remember. I was born in 75.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we know pop culture of the 70s.
Yeah.
And like you said, that opening 2 or 3 minutes, the song is awesome.
Yeah, great
but
song.
But it introduces you to all the main characters.
Yeah, so
you
it
get
puts
to see
the
them.
Yeah.
You get to kind of be like, okay, you know, these are people I'm going to get to know.
These are, yeah.
And I love that movie, man. I'm going to tell you a little anecdote.
Okay.
I just purchased my Alamo Draft House locally is showing that, like a retro screening of it.
Oh, get out of town.
Yeah, you should come with me, bro.
Dude, okay.
It's like on a Monday.
That's one of my favorite movies.
It's like on a Monday night in a few weeks. But
that's
I'm
probably
be,
top 10. Top 10 favorite movies
it's
of
awesome,
all time.
Man.
Love, Dazed and Confused.
Richard Linklater is the director.
Later on, he made, I think probably last 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years ago, he made a movie called Everybody Wants Some that takes place in the 80s over a weekend.
Oh, I didn't
at a
see
baseball.
That.
Dude, it's wonderful.
I don't think I saw that. Oh, it's a film or?
It's film.
Oh, I didn't
it's
see
film.
That.
It's probably on Netflix or something. But Dazed and Confused, I'm going to label it The Birth of Cool.
Okay.
Great opening scene with the credits, with the music, introducing you to characters, adds
that's
a little
great,
bit,
man.
Sets the tone.
It beautiful. Is an awesome
That's number
film.
Two.
That's a good
that's
one, man.
Two.
That's a
that would have been number one if this one.
Okay. We'll get into it, I'm sure. Okay. All right. Where are we at? We're at my number two, right?
Number two.
Okay. So my second and final superhero, or I guess I really should say comic book based film.
Mm-hmm.
It's also pretty recent. It's from 2009.
All right.
It's a film that I like, but I wasn't like blown away by.
Okay.
The film itself, I would probably give a C+.
But the opening sequence?
Right.
Okay.
That might be an unpopular opinion, but that's me personally.
Okay.
But the opening credits of this movie, first of all, they're 6 minutes long.
What?
Now, here's why. Okay. Let me go ahead and tell everybody. So the movie is from 2009, The Watchmen.
The Watchmen.
Did you ever see The Watchmen?
No, I didn't see The Watchmen.
Okay. So the opening credits sequence, like I said, is like 5.5-6 minutes.
Wow.
Now, the reason is, and you kind of see why they did it. Zack Snyder, he recently did Batman versus Superman, and he's kind of gotten some heat for kind of destroying DC. But anyway,
that's a lot of pressure.
But anyway, he has done some good things in the past. So The Watchmen he did. The opening credit sequence is the credits, you know, starring and produced by and all that stuff. But while this is happening, it's literally a montage from, I want to say, the 50s or 60s to present day.
Okay.
So it covers like 50 years of the, quote, Watchmen.
Oh.
And how they, it kind of tells you how they became a superhero group over the course of a song, The Times They Are Changing by Bob Dylan.
What? Okay, okay.
And it starts with, you know, some of them dying, the original Watchmen, and what happens to them. I mean, it's an intricate story.
Okay.
But it literally just plays out with no dialogue, just okay. Bob
just
Dylan's
song.
Okay,
the music and the scenes.
Bob Dylan's song and what has happened to this group leading up to present day. And then you meet the current Watchmen at the very end and the movie starts.
Okay.
So it's and it's very beautifully done too. Like it's a very artistic expression. I mean, the way they film it, it's very similar to Deadpool actually.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a lot of like still shots and kind of slow motion shots, you know, where the subjects will be in the frame.
Okay.
But like stuff behind them, like explosions will be going off behind them, but they're kind of still in the frame.
Yeah.
So it's very artistic in that way.
Okay.
But it's you should watch it. I mean, it's really, especially if you love Bob Dylan, it's a great song. But the song fits with what's happening because it starts in the 50s and goes up to today. So
6 minutes. That's a long intro.
It is.
That's a long intro.
And, you know, they were faced with, I mean, The Watchmen is a very intricate backstory.
Yeah.
So if you get into, and I don't even know it very well, but if you get into The Watchmen like comics and the and the graphic novels, I mean, that is a deep, deep story, kind of like Game of Thrones.
Okay.
It just starts at like point A and takes for fucking ever to get somewhere.
Yeah.
So what, you know, Zack Snyder and the producers were faced with that issue. Like, how do we tell the story of this group?
They tried to tell the whole story or just took a snippet and like made a movie?
Well, they kind of told the whole story in the credits. That's what I'm saying. That's what's really cool.
Oh, okay, cool.
So they give you just kind of like a like snapshots of, you know, every decade or whatever leading up to where we are.
All right.
As opposed to making a 3-hour movie trying to tell you what how these people got to be where they are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
So it was a really kind of cool tactic, and it ended up being just an amazing opening credit sequence for a movie that was kind of mediocre.
It also shows you, once again, how much creativity can go into just an opening sequence. Because, like, okay, well, let's take 6 minutes, let's take it slow, and let's introduce them to the idea, to the history, and let's take our time in doing so. So, I mean, it shows you, once again, how creativity can play into just an opening sequence.
Absolutely. So that's my number two,
The Watchmen
from 2009. Watchmen. All right, now, before you get your number one... we're going to take a quick break. We're going to do a little promo break. Now, what I'm going to do on purpose is I'm going to run a promo for the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews.
Interesting.
Over in Australia.
Fascinating. That works out well.
I love those guys, as you know. Yeah. Paul filled in for you when you were out sick one
week.
Paul,
thanks, buddy.
They've been on a couple different bonus episodes with us. I went on their show and did, what was the top 10 I did with him? I did top 10 movies that are so bad they're good. That was the topic.
Can you tell me your number one? Do you want to ruin it?
No. I can tell you. I just don't know if I remember my number one. But I had like Ace Ventura on there.
Ace Ventura, that's a great movie.
I know. They gave me shit for it too. But what I did when I went on there is they were shit on.
Yeah.
But people loved them. That's that's the angle I took.
You got to take an angle.
Roadhouse was on there with Swayze.
Yeah. Point Break. I can't say it. I'm so excited. Yeah. Point Break would probably be my number one. Because it's a terrible movie, but man, it's so good.
Yeah. All right, man, let's take a quick break, run a promo for those guys. We'll come back. We'll give our number ones.
Let's do it.
Our number one opening credit sequences.
I'm so excited.
On the flip side of this break. Stay tuned.
All right, brother.
Do you piss green after you've eaten vitamins? We certainly do. And therefore, you should listen to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast.
Even if you don't piss green, isn't it something I think you guys will like if you like TV and you like movies?
We count down lists associated with both, as well as offer the occasional review and a number of segments that are random in nature for your enjoyment.
Check out the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews on iTunes, Podomatic, or your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back in, guys. Two Peas on a Podcast.
Woo!
Episode 75.
Man.
And it's our first official top five with Andy
and I.
Bouncing our top five lists off of you. And
It's been real so far. It's been real.
Dude, you've been killing it, bro.
It's been real. I did the best I can.
You did real well.
All out of my memory. Can you believe I remembered four different...
You know, the only one I really disagree with you on was just The Matrix, but that's just because it's like a title card, in my opinion.
It is. And that's kind of the point. How much can you do with the title card?
That's right. And they did. They made a very infamous image there. So we're going to get up our number ones. You didn't want to finish up.
I'm going
to let you give me your... All right, guys, just so everyone knows, this is Andy. Andy, very spiritual individual. He's a very deep guy.
Yes.
This is his number one opening credit sequence.
This opening credit sequence is very simple.
Wow, you got choked up.
It's hard for me. It's very, very simple. It's just a title and a literal catching you up on the story that has become iconic. I don't even have to explain to you. I don't have to say the word.
No, you don't.
I don't have to read the sequence.
I just want to know which one.
All I have to do is play the music. The music itself is iconic. In fact,
the company.
What's the company? Is it Fox or Warner Brothers? That does whatever company that is. It made that famous. And then you see on the screen Lucasfilms.
Yeah.
And then Star Wars hits.
Mm-hmm.
and with that iconic music, and then bam, from the bottom of space, from the bottom of the screen, comes the title sequence, telling you what has been leading up to this.
Yeah.
That simple, iconic beginning that has been done eight times now is one of the most iconic title sequences in movie history.
Yeah.
All you have to do is hear the music, see the sign, and they do it the same every time.
They have to.
Every single time they do it the same, and every time I hear it, I'm blown away.
The text crawl.
Yeah, the text crawl.
Yeah.
They made the text crawl famous.
They didn't do it for Rogue One, I don't think.
No. Rogue One's a Star Wars
that was
story.
Like, and they didn't do it for Solo. Either.
No.
Yeah.
But Star Wars, each episode has the exact same beginning.
I will say.
It blows me away every time.
I don't know if we'll ever do it, but I will say that's got to be the number one score, right?
Yeah.
The orchestral
Absolutely.
Score John Williams did.
Yes.
I mean, that's just, forget about it.
So I don't even know if I can get into reasons
why.
Dude,
my son's four. He knows that song. He knows the Star
dun,
Wars.
Dun,
and not only that.
Dun, dun, dun,
and not only that, the Imperial March as well.
Dun, 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 dun. Yes.
The Imperial March he knows. He's like, oh, those are Star Wars.
Yes.
He's 4 years old. So it's a pop culture phenomenon.
It is. And that's why I think, the other four I had, I gave you, deep reasons.
But which
why.
One?
For
you didn't tell
one,
me. So you're just going to say the original Star Wars.
Just the Star Wars intro. The Star Wars
I'm
intro.
I'm going to say A New Hope then.
Yes, sure.
That was the first one, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But they all have the same, really. I mean, they have different words explaining you the story. But I just think, it transcends my explanation. It has just become this phenomenon,
right.
This thing. As soon as you hear the music, as soon as you see Lucasfilm, you're already cheering.
Right.
And the Star Wars hits.
So
they don't have to update it.
Hey, awesome pick, brother. You got a okay. We're gonna give a wrap up at the end after I get my number one.
Okay,
but you got a good listener, brother.
I
want to go back and watch those five movies.
Man,
that's a good playlist right there, brother.
That's the best I can.
All right, my number one.
Okay,
number
one.
Now I am not gonna cheat on our very first episode, but what I wanted to do is I wanted to say the catalog of David Fincher. Because I could have very easily made probably 4 out of 5 David Fincher films. I mean, there's a few of my honorable mentions I'll remind you of. But my number one, and the reason it's my number one is because it's still one of my favorite movies of all time. It has elements of horror. It has elements of suspense. Obviously, drama. There's romance in there. There's a little comedy. It is just a phenomenal film that to date has gone down as one of the greatest ever and will remain that way. It is a film called Seven.
Seven.
From 1995.
Okay.
Of course, starring Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman.
I don't think I ever saw it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
No, I never saw it.
Holy crap. Okay, well, you need to see it. It's dark.
What other films does he make? Like, what's
Fincher, you mean?
Yes.
What other films? He did Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
Okay.
The Social Network.
Okay.
Fight Club.
Okay.
Which is the one I almost put on here. Panic Room.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of stuff.
Okay.
And he has this thing for opening credit sequences. It's like a cool thing he does. And Seven was the first one that was really kind of intricate.
Can you paint the picture?
I am. Okay. I'm going to paint it for you real quick. And I'm sure a lot of people listening have seen Seven, and it got a lot of shout outs online as well. So the music is composed by Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, I'm there already.
It's a very kind of industrial,
dark,
creepy, dark
kind
of melodic tune.
Industrial is a very good way to explain
it. And it starts very slow, and the song, as the credits go on, they're about 3 minutes long. As they go on, the song gets more and more intense. At the very end of the credit sequences, you hear Trent Reznor's voice, "You Bring Me Closer to God," from his Closer song.
Yeah.
And it just...
"Bring me closer to God."
Yep, exactly. At the very end. So what's cool about this credit sequence is, and I know you haven't seen the film, so I'm going to try not to spoil it for you because I can't believe you haven't seen it. I thought for sure everybody would have seen this, so I'm not going to be giving any spoilers for a 1995 movie.
Yeah.
But since you haven't, I'll just be generic in my response. Okay. But basically, it's a whodunit, right?
Okay.
So the film, this is not going to give anything away. The film's premise is Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman are detectives in this kind of rundown city. And they're trying to catch a serial killer who uses the seven deadly sins as his motive for killing people.
Fascinating.
So if someone is gluttonous, he kills them in a certain way.
Yes. I could see
lustful, so on and so forth. So they're trying to catch him before he does the next one because they know they're going to be seven once they figure out the pattern.
Ooh, okay.
So what's cool about the opening credit sequence, because you don't know who the killer is until literally the last maybe 15 minutes of the movie. There's a really intense, it's also considered one of the greatest ending scenes in movie history, the final scene of the movie.
Okay. I gotta check this out. Goodness gracious, you're building up.
You really do. I mean, I have it. I can let you borrow it. I can't believe you haven't seen it. But it's the opening credit sequence, you don't know when you're seeing the movie because you don't know anything about it. Again, this is in 1995.
Yeah.
So this is kind of before the social media and blah, blah, blah. So you don't know. You're just watching a credit sequence. But what's cool is that opening sequence tells you who did it.
What?
It follows the serial killer as he's doing different things that he does to hide his identity.
And you see his face and everything?
Not his face, no. Okay. But you see him doing stuff.
Okay.
So you see him kind of preparing for the murders. It comes to light later in the film that he cuts off his fingerprints with a razor blade to hide his identity, and you see that happening in the credits. You see a lot of notes that he takes about his victims. All this stuff is kind of flashing on the screen during the credits. There's not enough time to really digest it all. Plus, it's really cool music. There's really awesome font that kind of like goes with the music, almost like it was written for the, you know, for the song. And I love it, man. And then on top of that, it's one of my favorite movies ever. So Seven from 1995.
Ah, number one.
And we found out we got something on your to-do list, brother.
Yes.
It is a dark film. You think your wife would watch it?
Maybe.
It's very suspenseful. Maybe.
She's a pretty dark chick.
She likes suspense?
Yes, she does.
I can show you that.
Neither one of us like gore.
Okay.
Both of us like suspense.
There's blood, but there's not like gore. It's not horror. Yeah. There's elements of horror.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, you know, like kind of the religious stuff.
Yes. We used to watch Criminal Minds together. And we loved that. That kind of suspenseful whodunit kind of thing.
So do you remember your 5-1? You want to give a wrap up? Let's wrap everyone
up. I hope I can remember. Yes.
I got it right here if you don't.
You want to go back and forth? Like my 5-year?
No, you just give me your top 5.
My 5 was The Matrix. My 4 was Batman. My 3 was Back to the Future. My number 2 was Dazed and Confused. And number 1 was Star Wars. Gerald wrote down A New Hope, but let's just face it, it's all of them.
Very good, brother. Yeah. And my top 5, guys, was number 5 was Clerks.
Boom.
From 1994. Mm-hmm. Number 4 was Deadpool.
Bam.
Number 3 was the original Halloween.
Ding, 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 ding,
which, by the way, I decided our next topic without telling you. Sorry.
What?
I'm going to announce it at the end.
Okay.
But do you want to talk about it first?
No, let's just wait till the end.
That's rude, right?
Suspend me. Suspend me. Is that a phrase? People say that? Suspend me? Hold me in suspense?
Keep me in suspense.
Suspend.
Yeah.
Suspend. I like that one better. Suspend me.
My number 2 was The Watchmen from 2009. Mm-hmm. And my number 1 was David Fincher's Seven. All right, let's give a few honorable mentions.
You're a dark guy.
Let's give a few honorable mentions, and I'm going to shout out some people over on Twitter and Facebook that had some feedback as well.
Cool, man.
So what you got? You want me to give mine first?
Let me give you an honorable mention. Okay. Now, this honorable mention is a symbol for all great 80s beginnings, and that is Top Gun.
Mm.
Top Gun is
Danger Zone, brother.
So you take a great big kind of 80s rock song, like, you know, Danger Zone. Danger Zone. You take that, you put a bunch of jets in the air, and you just show this big, beautiful thing. Days of Thunder was the same way with Tom Cruise. Yeah. A lot of 80s movies. So Top Gun was my homage to great 80s beginnings that just get you excited. Like, when you watch Top Gun, the beginning, you are pumped.
Yeah.
And you want to fly a plane. As a kid, like, I'm going to fly a plane. F-14 Tomcat, I'm going to fly a plane. But just from the very beginning with the darkness and the planes moving and then...
Danger Zone is enough reason.
Yeah. So right there, Top Gun is an honorable mention just because it's my homage to kind of those classic, huge 80s intros.
Any others?
I got 2 honorable mentions. My second one is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I just love the way it begins. It's the beginning of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Okay, yeah, you do love that movie.
It starts off, you just hear these chink, chink, chink. And it pans down to these members of a chain gang. It's like sepia tone. Right away, you see it's the Depression. They're just breaking rocks, singing this song. You know, they're just singing this kind of old kind of folk song.
Right.
And then it pans out a little bit, and Big Rock Candy Mountain starts playing. Ding, 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 ding. And it shows that sing at the beginning of basically, I think, Homer's The Odyssey.
Yeah.
Oh, Muse, tell a story through me and sing this tale or whatever. And then you see the three characters, George Clooney, John Turturro, and Tim Blake Nelson, jumping out of the field and running away and then diving back in. And then running away and then diving back
you
in.
Love that movie.
So you have like the sepia tone, you have the Big Rock Candy Mountain, you have a very depressing scene, but you have these three characters hilariously running away. And then it's actually a montage that follows them, you know, stealing a chicken from a farm, running away from the cops. So it illustrates that they're running away, but it also sets this dark, sepia tone, dusty, depression, folk type tone.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that beginning. And of course, I love the fact that it's based on the Odyssey and it uses those kind of characters like Cyclops.
So brother, where are thou? Man,
those are my 2 honorable mentions.
So I got a ton, but I'll just give a few.
You just give me a few.
So I said David Fincher. Don't so I mean, crazy. Basically all his movies. Probably the one I enjoy the most other than Seven would be the remake of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Okay.
It's a very, again, dark, and it plays the Immigrant Song. It's a cover of it, but it's a great version of Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song, and it's supposed to be Elizabeth Salander's dream, which we find out later in the movie why that is what it is.
Okay.
We don't know what we're watching at the time.
Mm-hmm.
but it's really cool. And then also Sweeney Todd, Tim Burton's.
I've never seen that one, but I've heard
of the musical, but the opening credits are great. Also,
Tim Burton often is really good at
this. No, he's awesome. Yeah, he's awesome. Spider-Man Homecoming. Love that one, where it kind of recaps the Avengers.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff. That's good
stuff. And I mean, there's a bunch on here. Zombieland, I think, is awesome. Yeah. Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Catch Me If You Can from 2002. Yeah. And I just want to give a shout out to just a collection, but all the James Bond films.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I didn't even think about that.
They're all.
Talk
I can't
about
pick
that's
one.
Up there with Star Wars as far as an iconic, because they all use the same ones.
Right.
They have they have a great song. They have a, you know, kind of naked,
sexy girls
naked,
dancing,
naked chicks dancing.
He fires the gun at the eye socket. So I couldn't pick one. There's been like 30.
I didn't think about that.
That's really good. Let's go over to Twitter and Facebook and see some feedback. You want to do that?
Okay, sure.
So on Twitter, let's see, More Gooder Than. We love those guys. Chris over there said Deadpool.
Deadpool. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah, you got to check. You got to rewatch that. Come on. The Crossover Podcast over on Twitter said Snatch.
Snatch,
which Brad Pitt film.
That's
I didn't revisit the opening credits.
Yeah, I don't remember the opening credits of Snatch, but that's a good one.
But I know people love that. And we got a couple shout outs for Seven. Let's see, at S4FFER. How do you say that?
What?
Sephorfer?
Yeah, Sephorfer.
Sure. Cam Sephorfer over on Twitter said Scott Pilgrim versus the World in Zombieland.
Okay, yeah.
As well as Seven. Those are all really good. Let's see. Oh. Now, we did have a lot of shout-outs for a film from 1958, a Orson Welles film called Touch of Evil.
Oh, goodness.
The Epic Film Guys, who are great fans of the show, mentioned that, as did Jake and Tom Conquer the World.
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned Touch of Evil, and I went back and watched it. I'd never seen it.
Yeah.
So I couldn't put it on my top five, but it is amazing.
Yeah.
So it's a one-tracking shot.
Okay.
And it's a black and white film from the 50s. And it opens on a guy putting together a time bomb. And he puts it into the trunk of a car. Okay. And he walks away. It's all one shot. It's all continuous. And he walks off the frame. And then the gentleman and the lady get in the car that has the bomb in the trunk. And they drive through town. Okay. Very slowly.
Oh, goodness.
And you hear the bomb ticking. Yeah. It's got kind of tense music playing.
Yeah. Okay.
They're driving past pedestrians. You don't know if the bomb's going to blow up.
This is the 50s this was made?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You don't know if the bomb's going to blow up. You don't know how many
casualties.
That's
cool. Yeah. That's really good.
And it's just kind of them driving through town. Mm-hmm. And as it's happening, and as you're kind of like, oh my God, is this car going to blow up? The credits are rolling, you know, directed by and starring and blah, blah, blah. So it was a really cool shot. And it was probably one of the pioneers of kind of the tracking shot. Some other films have done it since then, but it was really cool just to think in the 50s they were able to accomplish that.
That's amazing.
Because everybody had to be in place on their cue, and, you know, it was one take, you know, so it was really cool. But I couldn't put it on my list because I'd never seen the film, and that was literally the first time I'd seen it. Yeah. But it was an amazing, amazing opening credit scene.
Nice.
You know, we're probably going to do a future one with opening scenes.
Yes.
But we had a couple people shout out movies that really would be more the opening scene as opposed to the opening credits. But MDX Pod said Up, Disney Pixar's Up.
Yes.
And that is...
Yes, and that's a montage.
I'm going to cry if I start thinking
that's
about
a montage, it. But it takes you to their whole relationship up into the wife's death.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, the Ellie badge.
Yikes.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, Mike Cannot Pick. Howard Mallory over on Twitter had quite a few. He said Fight Club, Alien.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Willow, The Monster Squad.
Willow!
The Monster Squad, Short Circuit, and Demolition Man. Sly Stallone.
Nice.
Hollywood 514, Kyle Flyberg over on Twitter said From Dusk Till Dawn.
Okay.
Saving Private Ryan, which for me would also fall into the opening scene.
Okay.
As opposed to the credits, because, you know, when they storm the beach in the opening scene, absolutely. Same thing with Scream, which is a great opening scene with Drew Barrymore and the killers calling her on the phone, which is her favorite horror movie.
Yeah.
And then she ends up dead at the end of the scene, and then the title comes on.
That's true.
And the credits are just it goes through town. Unless he meant that, because it's a really cool Nick Cave song, Red Right Hand.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that would be on my opening scenes. And then he also listed Jaws. Yeah. The Real Deal Productions over on Twitter said Guardians of the Galaxy has to be up there. That's true.
Yeah.
Remember when Chris Pratt's dancing too? I can't remember what song it is, but he's like doing
the
dance.
And that's also, is that come after the opening scene or before?
I think it's like during it.
Yeah, okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Because he shows up on the planet and
Yeah.
He puts the earphones on, presses play, and then bam. Yeah.
The last couple that I'll mention are over on our Facebook fan page. Paul from the Varmints Podcast said Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah, okay.
Those are all good. Peter, who's a great friend of the show from Podstalgic, I'll just list his real quick. He said Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Beetlejuice, A Time to Kill, The Terminator, and then he gave a shout out to me for an 85 film called Tough Turf that nobody's seen. It is an awesome movie, though. Yeah. And him and I share the connection that we love that kind of rare gem from the 80s.
You know what's a rare gem from the 80s that has a cool opening sequence just because I was so into it at the time? There's a movie called Rad. It was made in the 80s. It was all about bikes, about BMX bikes.
Makes sense.
And the whole opening sequence was just like a white background with these bikes moving slowly and doing these tricks and playing this great kind of 80s music. That was the whole opening sequence. I used to rent that movie on tape over and over and over again.
And then last couple, Paul, who we mentioned earlier from the countdown, said Touch of Evil, which was the one we talked about.
Okay.
And then Carrie from Blazing Caribou, our kind of pod mother there that runs the studio, said Raiders of the Lost Ark, Night of the Living Dead, and she also mentioned Touch of Evil. Yeah. So a lot of love for Touch of Evil. Mm-hmm. So that's it, guys. And my daughter texted me her five.
Did she? Okay.
Remember we talked about her love of editing, and that's what she wants to do.
Yeah.
So let's see. Her five, and I told her I was going to mention these on the show. We went back and forth a little bit, but we actually matched quite a bit. Hers were Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Okay.
Seven, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, The Watchmen, and Zombieland.
Oh my gosh.
So her
she's
and I,
dark too. You got a dark family.
Her and I had a lot of, we had a lot of crossover there. Okay, that's it, Andy. You got anything you want to say to the people? Are we going to do your final thought at the end of... You want to do that?
We might as well.
Based on whatever the top five topic was. Let me bring in some Led Zeppelin for you. Bam. It might be a little too intense, but give us your final thought for the first top five official.
Now, an opening sequence sets the tone for the movie. It gives you a certain feeling, and you take that feeling, and you take it through the movie. Sometimes that feeling is challenged. Sometimes that feeling is increased, but it does that. Now, I want you to think about setting the opening tone for your day. What is your opening sequence in the morning? What is the first thing you do? How do you set the tone for your day? Is it music? Is it thinking? Is it reading? Is it praying? Is it looking out the window and stretching and going, damn, this is a good day? Think about your opening sequence. What is your opening sequence? How do you set the tone for your day?
Love it, brother. This is it. It's our first top five episode, guys. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be tweaking it, getting it to the right.
Gerald the Tweaker.
Getting it to the sweet
Gerald
spot.
Gerald the Tweaker.
Look for all of our information in the show notes. And you want me to tell everybody what the next topic is?
Go ahead. I guess you're telling me. I guess I have no say in this. By the way, guys, I have no say in this. Gerald tells me what to do. I show up and do it. I mean, that's just how our life is.
For next month, which will be the month of October, we're going to do top five movies to watch at Halloween time.
Ooh. Okay.
All right.
I got my number one already.
Yeah. So just five movies that you watch in October or around October. That's it, guys. We'll see you next month.
I'll be here.
And let us know your feedback. Let us know what you thought. Andy, love you, man, as always.
I love you, brother.
Be good, brother.
All right, man.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.